Del Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we thank Reverend David Castorini for being with us. And we, I'm sure, will have the pastor on with us. We have not had Pastor William Renick on. We will as the Christmas season approaches and becomes more imminent. But that was an interesting conversation. Again, this is the new orangutan exhibit at the Indianapolis Zoo. It opens in 2014. I'd go to see it if I were in Indianapolis. It sounds fascinating, anyway. A reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. Head on over, get a backstage pass, watch our show tonight, watch it every night, watch us how we perform the Phil Hendry Show on Phil TV in HD, and that also affords you access to the archives, to our Bobby and Bobby Dooley and Ted Bell blogs, to our news feed, to all of our webisodes, to daily podcasts. There's a lot going on there at philhendryshow.com. Now, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, the tragic events of December 7th, 1941, will be tomorrow. It will be the 70th. It's amazing that we are now well past the 50-year mark. We're on our way to a 100-year mark. And you think that a historic event like Pearl Harbor, it was part of my parents' generation, so I grew up hearing about it as the son of World War II people. Now we have, of course, grandkids, and now the great-grandkids, and it gets sort of further and further away from the generation that experienced it directly, those combat veterans, as well as the people that were at home during those very, very dark days of World War II and the very beginning stages of World War II. On the line with us is Harvey Wireman. Harvey is an attorney, retired, lives in San Marino, and was put through law school by the U.S. Marines, was also a Marine in the Second World War, and I imagine, Harvey, it was because of Pearl Harbor that you enlisted, correct?
Well, yes, Phil, that is correct. I enlisted in the Marines on, to be specific, on January 15th of 1942, and I told them that it was my interest at that time to be a JAG officer, which is a lawyer. And the Marines said that they needed me in basic training and to be a Marine rifleman, but I would go through school once I completed the service. So my experience with the Marine Corps was with Chester Nimitz. Went to Tarawa and eventually were left and went home with wounds before they went to Okinawa. So I,
were you at Iwo Jima?
No, I was not there, but it was at Tarawa and Marshall Islands, but not there.
Now, Pearl Harbor, you were a young man when that occurred, and you were in the United States, on the mainland, I mean?
Yeah, I was in California.
Okay, and what do you recall?
It was a shock. You didn't think that it would ever happen. The first thing you asked was, "Who do the Japanese think they're? What do they think they're doing?" They're gonna. All they did was make people mad. I suspect some of the smarter Japanese knew that. That's all they did was make us mad. See, if I could give you a personal point of view.
Go ahead.
See, I don't appreciate very much the Pearl Harbor memorial because, I don't like being reminded of a time when we got caught with our pants down, And every year when they have this, when I was called today by your producer and he said, "Would you come on the program?" And I said, I'd be happy to, but I don't want to keep going down this same road of, well, let's remember when we got our rear ends kicked. Let's keep.
Well, do you think that's what it is, or is it just memorializing the people that lost their lives?
We can memorialize the people that lost their lives. There's a memorial to the Arizona in Pearl Harbor right now that people can go and visit, and that's appropriate. But the same thing with this 9/11. We have the anniversary of let's remember when we got our rear ends kicked so thoroughly and so good that we were walking around like stumble bums for about 6 months. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And I, for one, and I'm, you know, I'm very, very, very old man, Phil. You know, I'm going to be, I just turned 90. So, I don't know how much longer I've got. But I'm here to tell you.
Well, I mean, I hope you're with us for a long time.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment, but the fact is, before I go, I'd like to know that I want to quit having these annual reminders of how we took a Japanese boot right square between the legs. Because let's be honest, that's what we're talking about.
Well, I don't know.
No, I do know.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like you're saying we're celebrating being defeated.
Well, no, we're not celebrating being defeated, but we're going back every year and we're saying, do you remember how it felt when we took a lead-toed boot to the testicles?
And okay, can I just remind you, we got a, women listening, children listening.
All right, I didn't say anything that was, and I apologize if I was out of line, but I mean,
you're talking, the language here, it's getting a little salty, and I recognize that you were a soldier.
Well, I wasn't a soldier, I was a Marine. There's a difference there.
All right, I mean, you were a Marine, so what I'm saying then is that, if we could watch the language, but what you're talking about, Pearl Harbor, the commemoration of Pearl Harbor is a negative thing.
You know, it's very negative, and I think it does the country a disservice to every year tell the little ones and tell the kids that weren't there and the people that weren't there, as you were just saying, Phil, and every year we say to them, and now we'd like to tell you about a time when we got caught with our pants down. And, you know, to give you an example, it would be like, if you don't want me to say the lead-lined toe, it's like going into the bathroom, finishing, and you look and there's no toilet paper. And so you get up and you're looking for toilet paper. And you even have to go out into the hall to find it because it's usually in a closet where your wife puts it, right, or something. And as you're going down the hall with no pants on, what do you think happens? Here comes your kids, here comes a plumber, everybody's in the house. That's what happened to us on Pearl Harbor. Are you going to remember that day? Are you going to say, boy, I sure remember the day that the kids came home, little children saw me with no pants on? Are you going to remember that and celebrate that?
Of course not. And I don't even think that that's close to comparable.
Excuse me?
I mean, I don't see how...
Were we not caught unprepared?
Yes, we were.
Okay, if you don't have toilet paper in the bathroom, are you unprepared?
Yes, you're unprepared. You're giving this a... You're making this sound...
Let me finish, Phil, because see, what you're doing is you're trying to find fault, but you really can't find fault because what I'm saying is true. When we go back and we celebrate Pearl Harbor and we...
Well, we're not celebrating it.
No, what I'm saying is when we remember the Pearl Harbor attack, we are basically saying every year I want to remember being so stupid that there was no toilet paper in the bathroom, so I had to walk outside with no pants on at all while kids came home from school and women were showing up for my wife's garden party. I'm in the hallway, not having wiped, by the way, looking for toilet paper. Now, you may not like that comparison, but friend, that's exactly what it was. It was the lack of preparation. We got caught with our pants down, and every year I'm forced to remember it, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. I'm almost 90 years of age. I fought for this country in the World War, and now on top of that, they want me to remember when I got my rear end handed to me by a... Well, I'm not allowed to say, a word anymore.
And what word?
Well, it's three letters. It's four letters. It starts with a J.
I'd rather you not, yeah.
All right. I got my rear end handed to me by the Nips.
No, not Nips either. Japanese, okay?
I apologize, but I... Okay.
And I you know what, Harvey, I will tell you this. I understand how you feel. It's tough to remember a defeat, but isn't it true that when we look clear-eyed and soberly at these defeats, don't we see in them the lessons that we eventually did learn that led to victory?
I don't see anything in Pearl Harbor that helps me, that takes me to victory. What I see in Pearl Harbor is a bunch of people standing around with their thumb up there, you know what, and we got blown to bits. What I learned from that? Here's what I learned from that. Bombs blow ships up. There, I learned that. That's great.
Well, you also said that we were unprepared. Did we not learn something about preparation?
No, here's what we learned. We were lucky enough that our aircraft carriers weren't there. We learned that the ships that got bombed were destroyers, so we didn't need them anyway. If we'd been prepared, we probably would have protected the destroyers and probably would have let them bomb the aircraft carriers. I'm telling you, it was a disaster. And it still is a disaster because we keep remembering it instead of forgetting it and moving on, just like that 9/11.
All right, Harvey Wireman with us as we talk about Pearl Harbor, 70-year anniversary tomorrow, on the East Coast, we are into tomorrow, 70 years since the date December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese Air Force and the Japanese Navy attacked, the Japanese Naval Air Force, Naval Air Arm, I should say, attacked Pearl Harbor and visited all of that destruction and all of that death upon those sailors and those people there that day. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 with Harvey Wireman, a World War II veteran and now a retired attorney, as we talk about Pearl Harbor and what he says is a very unfortunate thing, having to remember a defeat every single year. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hold on. I didn't say that, though.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Harvey Wireman, an attorney and a veteran of the Second World War, a Marine Corps veteran, about the attack on Pearl Harbor. And Harvey, and I know that it's been a long time, and you were a young man at that time living in California. You enlisted as a result of Pearl Harbor, as we heard so many people did back then. You're now saying that you don't like the constant hearing about Pearl Harbor because you don't like hearing about a defeat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, look, I joined the Marine Corps. And the reason why I joined the Marine Corps is because I wanted to be, as they say in the, they do it in the commercial, I wanted to be with the best. I wanted to fight with the very best. I wanted to fight with the riflemen, the best riflemen in the war were Marines. Now, let me tell you something. I don't like being reminded that my country, the United States of America, took a boot to the rear end, you know? And every time we talk about 9/11 and Pearl Harbor and this and another, all of that, they were going, oh, yeah, remember when we got our ass kicked. Remember when we got our ass kicked. Why do we always have to talk about getting our ass kicked? I'd like to talk about how we kicked ass. But we don't ever do that. And I think it's the reason why we have a generation of people in this country that look down their nose on the military, and they look down their nose on that kind of sacrifice. And they think war is, bad and everything, is because they continually get this message about how we got our asses kicked. Well, we didn't. We won the Second World War, you know.
Well, that's pretty clear.
Well, if it's clear, I don't hear. We do more remembering Pearl Harbor than we do remembering when we dropped a bomb on the Japs.
Okay, now I gotta ask you not to say that word. Okay, it's 2011. I know.
I'm sorry. You're right. I forgot. When we bought the, you don't want me to say the NIPS either, do you?
No, I'd rather you not just say Japanese.
All right. we tell about it. We talk about the pearl. We talk about Pearl Harbor. And hold on for a minute. I got to get some water.
I'm sorry, Harvey. I forget that this is tough for you, huh?
What's tough for me?
Yeah, I mean, doing all of this talking.
No, it's not tough for me. What do you think I'm made out of anyway? I just need water, that's all. Get Grandpa some water, okay? All right. We do more remembering of how we got our ass beat than we remember about when we, you know, got the whole thing over with by dropping an A-bomb and saying, and looking out the window of the airplane and saying, are you feeling me? You know, what do the kids say today, Phil? Do you feel it?
Do you feel me?
Do you feel? That's right. Well, we dropped the A-bomb on the Japans. We should have looked out the window and said, "Do you feel me?" Huh? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that what you're saying, you are reflecting an attitude that was a gung-ho. Let's take them on and let's kick their ass. And that is there's no question that was appropriate. I think today, however, what we're saying is that. With the experience of time, especially the experience that we learned from the Europeans, whose their entire continent was a war zone for two world wars, that perhaps that's not something we want to repeat, that we do want to remember there is the loss of life and that there is the tragedy of that.
Well, look, Phil, there's plenty of remembering of the loss of life on Memorial Day. You've heard of Memorial Day, I take it.
Of course I have.
All right, well, that's when we remember those that have gone before. That's when we remember the loss of life, all right? But individual defeats, like Pearl Harbor, we might as well, why don't we just raise the rising sun and, you know, do that whole, the Japanese national anthem. I'm going to find that. Terry, get the Japan.
What are you doing?
I want to get the Japan national anthem.
What are you going to do that for?
I'm going to play it because that's what we ought to be playing today. Or tomorrow. Get the Japan national anthem. I don't care how you do it. I don't care where you got to go. Get it. I don't care if you got to... I don't care if you got to put a gun in someone's ribs.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to my daughter, if you'll excuse me. Is that all right with you?
Yes, it's fine. I'm just... You should be talking to me, and we'll talk to the people on the show.
I understand that, but I'm talking to my daughter. Get the Japan, yeah. Yeah, that's what I said, Japan. No, get the Japanese Empire.
Well, what are...
What is wrong with you, Phil? What are you doing? I'm asking my daughter to go get the Japan national anthem at...
Japan?
That's what I just said.
Japan.
You know, you talk like you got some kind of spaz, like you're spaz. I said Japan.
No, you said Japan. All right, so she's going to get the Japan national anthem.
What are you talking like a spaz for?
Would you not say that word and all of these other...
Where am I in America? You know, since I got on the radio with you, I've been told, can't say that word, and you can't say that word. What did I go to war for? What did we all come home from, you know, World War II, and we go and we defeated them, and I got to come back to the States and talk to some guy that wasn't even born... And you're telling me I can't say this and I can't say that.
I'm asking you in deference to a great many people who also fought in that war that may be of Japanese descent. You know, the Rainbow Division. You know that?
The Rainbow Division? You're talking about that wasn't the Rainbow Division.
Well, whoever the All-Japanese Division was.
The Rainbow Division. The All-Japanese Division was the All-Jap. That was the guys in Italy. Yes, they were fantastic soldiers. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that we were fighting in. Boy, are you stupid, man.
Hey, Harvey, let me tell you something. We can hang the phone up and we can just do something else, okay? Other than talk to you.
I don't care.
Well, then don't call me stupid. And I'm sorry I said Rainbow Division.
Well, you get your facts straight, okay?
All right. The one that Daniel Inoue was in, those guys.
Yes, those guys were in Italy. They weren't where we were. We were in the Pacific. They were in the army.
I understand. I'm saying that there were some soldiers of Japanese descent who fought for this country. In deference to them, can we not use the word J-A-P-S and N-I-P-S, and can we just say Japanese?
I didn't say those words. I said the other one. I said Japan.
Okay, fine. I mean, now there's the break. See, we've spent 5 minutes arguing about this crap.
That's okay. My daughter's going to get the... Did you get it? She's going to get the national anthem of the What do you want me to say?
Of Japan.
Of Japan. And I'm going to play it, because that's what we ought to be playing on the December 7th, because that's who won.
Phil Henry.
God.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch on this show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't because it's just too ding-dang truthful. With us is Harvey Wireman. Mr. Wireman, a retired attorney, a veteran of the Second World War, and joining us to talk about Pearl Harbor. The 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor yesterday, and, or excuse me, not yesterday, today, tomorrow. It might be tomorrow. What am I doing here? Turn off the Led Zeppelin. Because we have this music, Harvey.
All right, I don't know what you just said. That was very...
I'm sorry, I got into that very dysfunctionally. I'm saying that tomorrow is the 70th anniversary of what happened on December 7th, 1941.
Yeah, and what happened was we lost, okay? Why are you and other people not, why do you not want to say on December 7th, 1941, we lost? Why don't you, you know, hey, why don't you want to say that?
I'll say it. You know.
I'm a Marine. I fought for this country. You know, I know what it took to defeat the Japanese. And I'm glad that we did. So I can say... not proudly, but I say we got our ass handed to us at Pearl Harbor. Now, my daughter Carolyn went out and got the Japanese national anthem. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is what we should be playing tomorrow. Do you hear that?
Yes, I do.
All hail, rising sun. Nice going, baby. Sieg Heil. I don't know what they said. They didn't say Heil. They didn't say Hi Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
What was it? Yeah, there you go. There's the rising sun. Yeah. All right.
Don't you feel like you're disrespecting those soldiers on the Arizona?
Am I doing what? I can't hear you under the Japanese kabuki theater music.
Turn that down, will you please?
Oh, that was disrespectful to the Japanese anthem.
Don't you think you're being disrespectful to the men that died on the Arizona?
No, I do not think I'm being disrespectful. I'm telling it. Remember the guy? And he did the sports. What was his name? What was the guy's name?
Who?
The guy that did the sports. I'm telling it like it is. Howard Cosell. That's what I'm doing. Telling it like it is. Those soldiers on the Arizona were avenged by four bloody years of island hopping and rooting the Japanese out of every little rat hole we could find. And we used to call it. We used to say we're delivering the groceries, or we had a paper route. You know what we meant by a paper route?
No.
They'd say, hey, better go deliver the paper route, and we'd just drop hand grenades into every hole we saw, and we would call down in Japanese. I forget what it was now. But we used to say something like, you know, New York Times, and we drop, you know. You know, it broke up the boredom.
Boy, that's great. What a story.
Oh, well, excuse me. So I'm not supposed to have some laughs?
Laughs?
Bill, don't be judgmental.
Okay, but, you know, hey, New York Times dropping hand grenades. I mean, to me, the whole thing is macabre. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We have a gentleman on the line here. Is it Rodney? Forget your name, sir.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Rodney. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Harvey Wireman. Go ahead. Rodney.
Say that not
yeah, Rodney. How you doing, Rodney?
Has a negative opinion. I'm good. How are you? Not everyone has a negative opinion of the military.
Just oh, no, I know, yes. Yeah, I know that. I know that. But I think that we have a generation of people that think you remember what I saw here in the news? Maybe you saw it, Rodney. The people in California, they were protesting the Marine Corps being in Berkeley. Do you remember that?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There are people who may have not so favorable opinions of the military, but my maternal grandfather was in Pearl Harbor that day. So
what was her name?
The observance of the day is not always.
No, his grandfather. His grandfather.
I thought it said his grandmother.
His grandfather was at Pearl Harbor.
Right. Oh, all right, right, sir. Is he still alive?
No. No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. But you got to understand something, Rodney. Your grandfather, was he killed at Pearl Harbor? Or was
no.
he?
No, okay. He wasn't. No.
We got beat. We got beat. And I only think it's right I only think it's right to say that. We got our ass beat. We got our asses beat by guys that later, after the war, became our gardeners. And
okay, why do you have to say that?
What?
Why do you have to say that?
What's that, sir?
The cliche, the perfect example there is the cliche of losing the battle but winning the war. So
well,
what?
You know, that's
you
what people, battle, yes, people say that.
War.
Well, you know, people have said that, and that's fine, but okay, we lost the battle, but when do I get to celebrate winning the war? I never get to celebrate that, because if I do that, I'm a warmonger. So I gotta every year suck on this. This is what this here is. Listen to this.
You can every year I gotta whatever you want, whenever you want. The rest of the world doesn't celebrate your birthday.
Every December 7th, I gotta sit down on rice paper and go, hey.
What the hell are you talking about? This are you listening to what this man's saying?
Yes, I hear him.
Every day of your life, Harvey, you survived that war and came home to a great country, which it still is, and thank God, and we did win. We know we won because of the life that I have.
Well, you know what? I thank you and this young man, Rodney. You two guys are unique. You think about things like that. The rest of these clowns, all they want to talk about is how Alec Baldwin got caught pulling his you-know-what. Did you hear about what happened to Alec Baldwin? Did you hear about it, Rodney?
No,
what
I
about
sure
it?
Didn't.
Alec Baldwin got caught on an airplane pulling it.
No, well. He didn't. He got no, he did. He got caught on an airplane playing. They threw him off because he was playing some stupid game.
No, he did not. He had his hand in his pants.
No, he did not. He was playing someone as God.
Well, you're talking to me like I'm weird. You know, that's the part that gets me about him, Rodney. But every December 7th, I got to listen to the Japanese anthem, because that's... Anyway, you're a good man, Rodney, and my very best to your grandmother,
hey.
Or your grandfather, who's no longer with us, but he didn't die at Pearl Harbor. That's weird.
That's right. That's right. But he died on December 7th.
Here it is. I bet you when your grandfather was winging his way to heaven, he heard this.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know about
I'm only kidding, Rodney. I'm kidding, Rodney.
Rodney, thanks for your call, man.
877.
Can we turn that down, please?
No, we're not turning it down. You're going to listen to it and love it. It's your anthem, Henry.
Get this out of here. God.
I wanted to find out, what did they say in Germany? Hi, Hitler?
Heil. Why didn't you know that, man? That's your generation.
I wasn't over there. I was in the Pacific.
Well, it was in all the news. You heard of Hitler, didn't you?
Yeah, I heard of Hitler. But I thought they were saying, hi, Hitler. Hi, Hitler.
Oh, get out of here. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. You know something, Phil? You seem to think that because a guy doesn't have every single little pimple of history under his fingernails, that he's some kind of a dumbass. There's certain things some people don't know.
So you thought all those people in Germany going, hi, Hitler.
Yes, and they had the hand up.
I don't believe you. Nobody's that dumb.
Dumb?
That's exactly right. No one's that stupid. Hi, Hitler. Okay, any other ways that we can, be disrespectful to December 7th, you let me know, huh?
Hey, hold on, for just, I'm not being just, now you just keep one thing in mind, young man. I lost a lot of friends in that conflict, okay?
And well, then you should talk a little bit more respectfully.
Are you telling me? Is that what you're doing? You're telling me?
Yes.
You are telling me?
Yes, I'm telling you.
You're telling me, a guy that was there, that I can't have a couple of laughs. Is that what you're doing? I just want to be clear, Phil. I'm not going to get mad. Are you telling me?
Yes, I am telling you. Yes.
I can't have a couple of lousy laughs, a couple of cheap laughs, just so I can brighten my otherwise dead life. I'm 90 years old. I can't listen to this.
Get out of here, will you? Get him back on the phone? Well, get him back on the phone. Tell him I'm sorry I hung up. But I'm not going to keep listening to him playing that and him making jokes and hi, Hitler, and he's acting like a real jackass. His whole thing is this. He's old, and he's decided that he wants to disrespect everything and everybody, and even Pearl Harbor, even the memorial, not the memorial, but even the anniversary of the day, because, you know, that's Harvey, man. Once he gets his mind set on something, he's just decided. If he decides that he's going to fart in the middle of a garden party, man, you better turn on the fan.
No kidding.
All right, Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with our news and information hour. It's coming up next hour, so we'd like you to join us for that. Also, there's going to... Will you turn that off? Also, a couple of things to announce ahead on our website. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, live from the El Pacifico each and every night, and on Saturday evenings from 7 to 10 as we do our Saturday night video cast. If you'd like to watch us then, you may. And we're going to start doing football Sunday, generally the second game or the late game, possibly the evening game. You can join us here in our studio as we comment and otherwise watch the football game, throw things at the TV set, you know, and do things that that other people do. Here's a story, and I think we have Jeff Dowder next hour. I'm not sure, calling in on this. Jeff Dowder is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. The Voyager. Now, do you know Voyager? This was a satellite that was launched by NASA in 1977, and you've, I'm sure, heard of Voyager in popular culture. I think it was the subject, and I believe that's what Dowder is going to be talking with us about, the subject of a Star Trek movie. Voyager was the first spacecraft, Voyager 1, I should say, was the first of two Voyager spacecraft launched by NASA. And as I say, it was launched in 1977, and it would do flybys. It did, in fact, flybys of certain planets, if not all the planets in the solar system. I don't think all of them. I think it was primarily to take photographs of three planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and the planet that I know is now going to give Bud a big laugh.
Uranus.
That's right. There, you feel good?
Yeah, you feel better now? You got to say it.
Yeah, you did fly by Uranus. Ha ha ha.
God, what a baby, man.
You thought it was funny, too.
All right. There, you got to say it, okay? Three planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus. One of which we now know, two of which actually have rings.
Yeah, I bet it does.
All right, Bud, you got your joke out of the way. Shut up. Two of which have rings, Saturn and Uranus.
You want to hit him?
Don't hit him, no. But if you laugh one more time, just like they do in courtrooms, when the bailiff and the judge says, if there's any more snickering, I'll have your ass thrown out.
Judges don't talk like that.
Oh, really? Well, this judge does, okay? Judge Hendry.
What is this, Judge Phil?
Yeah, it's the Judge Phil court. And Judge Phil is saying, if you laugh one more time, I'm throwing you out of my courtroom. See? That's how they do it in the courtrooms.
Yeah, the Judge Phil show. You don't have no TV show. Dr. Phil does, though.
Hey, Bud, shut up.
I'll kick his ass if you want.
Yeah.
I will, man.
All right, easy, easy. I'm trying to do a story here. Would you shut up? So anyway, interesting story, just as a side note. I was working at that time in 1979 at a rock and roll station, a rock station here in Los Angeles called K-West. And I did a comedy bit every, I did the afternoon show, I did this comedy bit every afternoon, a little feature, and one of them had to do with Voyager. Well, anyway, the guys at JPL thought it was funny, and they sent me, I was blown away because I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. They sent me large poster, roll-up poster photographs of Jupiter and Saturn, full color, big posters of Jupiter and Saturn that were taken by Voyager. Amazing pictures, truly amazing pictures. And of course, since then, you guys, we've all seen them and many more like them. Voyager has taken, since then, 1979, all the way to now, 22 years, it is now entering a region of stagnant solar wind and magnetic pressure. What's basically happening is it's on the precipice of crossing over into interstellar space. Now, what is interstellar space? Basically, it's in that part of the universe, in that part of the galaxy, the Milky Way, where it is not subject really to the gravitational pull or effects of any star. Right now, the sun, which is our star, our solar system, right now it's affecting Voyager. There is a region of solar wind and magnetic pressure that I think is being exerted by our sun. But what that is, we'll talk to Dr. Dowder about that. Or Professor Dowder, I should say.
You ain't no doctor.
I know, Professor Dowder. Moving around the perimeter of the Milky Way galaxy, the sun, our sun, generates a wind of charged particles moving out in all directions. Ahead of the sun, the solar wind is compressed like the waves in front of a moving ship by a steady flow of plasma emanating from outside the solar system. God. Anyway, the solar particles are mostly diverted down and up, then behind the sun, like a ship's wake or a comet's tail. That's what, I guess, Voyager... No spacecraft has ever left the solar system before. So Voyager 1 is flying through an uncharted void between the influence of the sun and the interstellar wind, which blows waves of plasma and charged particles at a clip of up to 15 miles per second. That transition may not be instantaneous, said one of the doctors that they interviewed at JPL. It may take us months to get through a rather messy interface between these two winds. I mean, how we know, it takes far better people than me, obviously, to know what this is, man, these interstellar winds. But anyway, the latest data from Voyager shows the spacecraft is in a region of stagnation where the stream of charged particles from the sun is slowed and the sun's magnetic field has piled up. Point is, Voyager 1 is now 11 billion miles from the sun.
Wow, seriously?
11 billion miles. So let's talk about this. It took 22 years for Voyager to go 11 billion miles, and it's no nearer to another star than it's just now leaving the influence of our star, our solar system. 11 billion miles, 22 years. What makes us think... What makes us think we're going to find any...
What?
What makes us think we're going to be traveling space and finding cats that live on other planets and all this jazz, man? 22 years to get out of this solar system?
Yeah, but they're going to have like a speed of light and everything.
Oh, sure. You just keep right on watching TV, man.
But don't you think it's possible?
I don't know what's possible, bud, but I'll tell you one thing. I ain't watching Star Trek to find out. I'll listen to scientists, thank you very much.
Star Trek had a lot of, information.
I'll listen to scientists, thank you.
But if you watch Star Trek, the warp coil.
Yeah, thank you, I'll listen to scientists,
But you don't think none of that is possible?
I don't know whether it is or not, Robert. But one of the problems with, many of us is, wow, can we travel through interstellar space? I know, let's watch Star Trek and find out, Not going to happen with me.
Yeah, but you don't have an open mind.
Oh, I don't have an open mind? What do you mean I don't have an open mind, man? I got an open mind. If I'm talking to scientists or I'm, you know, listening to them.
Yeah, you're going to talk to a scientist. You don't even know what he's talking about.
I don't. Maybe I don't. But I ain't going to listen to some cat on Star Trek. You know?
Then why do you watch it?
Because it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch. Not watching Star Trek to figure out whether I'm going to be able to fly through the speed of light. You know, I'm watching Star Trek for kicks. That's it, dude. Not finding out any scientific. That's the problem with you, bud. You watch Star Trek. Whoa, we could go to the speed of light.
What about a wormhole?
Yeah, the wormhole, man, they don't know.
Yeah, they do. Or they think they do.
Oh, they think they do, huh? All of that stuff is theory, man. Theory. All that jazz you see on Star Trek, all of that is theory. Some scientist's theory that Star Trek said, well, hell, let's plug it into a script, you know, and see if people, you know, see if it works.
They did the whole Deep Space Nine and everything on it.
Great. Wonderful. They got a TV series out of it. There you go, bud. Hey.
Yeah, all that science, man. We got one TV series.
No.
Yeah. They got the wormhole. And I'll tell you, that was such a fantastic scientific discovery. We got a whole TV series out of it. Jeez. I'm telling you, bud. You got to wise up, man. You know, all that stuff is great. We don't know whether that stuff exists or not. Right now, here's what we know. This is what we know. 22 years to get 11 billion miles. That much we know. That ain't going to take me to Klingon, man. That ain't getting me any closer to the Vulcans, Jack. That's 22 years to get out into some solar wind. No thank you. All right, we'll be back with our news and information hour. World famous Phil Hendry Show and Jeff Dowder next hour to talk about this.
Phil Hendry.